All right, hi everybody, and welcome to Lecture 71 in this American History program of History at Our House. Today's topic is, well, a strange-looking set of words, and possibly one that you will not recognize immediately. So I hope that it will become clear what it means, and that you will challenge me on whether or not you are clear, and we will work as a team to make this expression clear. So the title of the lecture today is Popular Sovereignty. What does that mean? All right, so we're going to begin by me sharing my screen and showing you the situation where we left off. And I want you guys to tell me what this set of maps basically is showing us. It's showing us it is labeled 1850. So if you had to do a presentation right now to somebody to explain to them what you were learning, what would you say? Pointing to this map, what would you tell them? All right, Abby, we'll get us started. Go ahead, Abby, get us started.
Say is that the North, the anti-slavery states, have acquired a new territory and also a new state, California, and...
Okay, hold on. You dove in too quickly here. You gotta become a teacher. I'm gonna teach you how to be a teacher. To be a teacher means that you have to understand what your audience knows and does not know. And you can't just dive in and say... The North has no slavery and has acquired a new territory. Because you're going to confuse your audience, which is modern Americans, and they don't know what you're talking about. So, what do you need to say? You need to say, well, this is a map of the United States, of course. That way you make your audience comfortable. Oh, yeah, I knew that. Okay. And then you say, but notice that it is a map divided into blue and red sections. All right, so as a teacher, Jeremy, what's the first thing you're going to tell your audience about that?
Why they are blue and red?
Okay, go ahead and tell the audience.
Well, the blue represents no slavery, and the red represents slavery.
Okay, excellent. And now, Jack, you are also a teacher, and your student, who's very ambitious, is going to ask you, but wait a minute, there's a gray area. What would you tell them about that, Jack? Hello? Jack, are you there? Okay, we lost Jack. Rosetta, what would you say as a teacher to your students? You would say what Jeremy said. You'd say, okay, there's blue and red, as you notice here, my young students. And that means blue is where slavery is not allowed, and red, slavery is allowed. But you will also notice that there's gray. So what would you say, Rosetta?
The gray basically could mean, it could be either the blue territory, or it could be the red territory.
Okay, either or. Yeah, it's an area that wasn't defined. And then, because you're a very careful teacher, Sigourney, you would also say, and finally notice, my young students, that there are areas that are white. Did you notice that, Sigourney?
Yes. Is it ocean?
Well, this area here, right? These two states here are white, which means what? Nobody asked me that. You see, you guys are supposed to ask me. Walker, what does it mean?
They're not there yet.
Well, they exist, but...
They're not part of the United States.
All right, great. So now we're doing a teaching experiment here. You guys are the teachers, and you're showing off to people, and you're saying, this is history at our house. And what I'm learning about is American history, and I'm learning about this time now where it's 1850. And so in 1850, America was divided into different sections, not quite like it is today. We had states that were... where slavery was not allowed in blue, and territories where slavery was not allowed in blue. And in the United States of 1850, there were states with slavery in pink, and territories where slavery was allowed in light pink, but also territories where, well, it hadn't been decided yet. And, well, parts that we think of as the U.S., well, they weren't even in the country yet. Oh, so now you've really got your students started. And then, well, Abby, can you think of what the next logical thing to say would be? Well, now that you've set up the color scheme of your map for your students, what would be the next thing you would want to tell them?
That's actually a hard one.
It is a hard one, I know. That's why I'm getting you to think of what it's like to be a teacher. Whew. It's not easy, I tell ya. But what would be the next thing you would tell them? Not that you said blue free of slavery, pink slavery, gray not decided, white not in the country. There's still something else you would want to say to help them understand the map. What would it be, Rosetta?
It would probably be the date. This is like the map. This is in the time
of 1850. Okay, so yeah, we actually did say that, but I'm glad you forced us to pause, because that's always a good thing for a teacher to do, to make sure to point out things, and sometimes more than once, to emphasize something. So you would say, and please notice, students, that this is 1850. Okay, but the reason why I wanted to ask you for more clarification was, we actually have three kinds of blue that we haven't said yet. So as a teacher, you should never leave your students hanging, right? So what would be the next thing you would want to teach a student, Patrick? Oh, okay, you're not sure. All right, you thought you were sure, but you weren't. All right, keep going, Abby.
Well, the next thing you'd want to teach a student was you would say, and the darker blue area is a new state that has only just been added, and a darker pink area, like a red area, would be a state that has just been added.
All right, now, in this case, we don't have one, so you wouldn't have to explain that. You got to be careful when you're a teacher not to explain things that aren't there, because that's confusing, right? So I know you're expecting to be able to go to another map, maybe, and teach that to somebody, but I'm just asking you to teach this map. Okay, right, so you would say, well, this was a new state in 1850. Okay, good. All right, so we're pretty good here. We have a good idea of what the United States was like at the time, and you would explain to your students that the reason why these colors have been used is because the question of slavery was very important in the United States at this time. This is the reason why we're using certain colors. We're not using something else. I don't know, what would it be at the time? Right? Different kinds of breakfasts eaten in the South versus in the North? I don't know. What would be another kind of not important difference, right? When you make a map and you put colors, you want the colors to tell you something, right? So you want a map to be meaningful. And so this is what this map is about. Rosetta, go ahead.
Wasn't the, for when they had the Civil War, wasn't it the red was for the southern states and the blue was for the northern states?
Well, in, as far as the uniforms, is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Yeah, the southern states had gray uniforms.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's often in American lore, people talk about the blue and the gray. So that's what it was. But I'm using red here just because of it's more dramatic, right? Gray is kind of a gray area, if you know what I mean. Okay, so this is our 1850, and now you have to be, I gotta ask you guys another challenging question to be a teacher. Here's the big one. You've told the student all these facts, and now, as a teacher, you have something else to tell them. What is it? What do you need to tell your students? Not just facts. The universe is full of facts. It's a huge, gigantic waste of time waiting to happen. So what are you going to do? If you're going to be a teacher, what do you need to do? You're showing your students this set of facts. What do you need to do, Rosetta?
make sure that they're important facts.
Okay, but what about your poor students? You know they're important. What do you have to do for your students?
Make sure that they learn them.
Well, yes, but you've got to tell them that they're important. And not just tell them. What is... Okay, tell me why this is important.
How
would you explain that?
Because it's a crucial part about the American history.
Yes, that's true, but it's not precise enough, right? If I say to you, this is an important part of American history, well, you'll hear me say that, and, well, what image will you have in your head when I say that? It will be too vague, right? So we need to help our students here think of what is important at this time. And what this part of American history is connected to what? Why should you be interested as a student? That's challenging. How would you explain that to people? You would say, I'm learning history. And I'm learning about this division in America. And it's important. Let me tell you why. Because grown-ups could use your help here, especially if you're teaching grown-ups. They don't know why. So you need to help them. Abby, what would you tell the grown-ups?
Well, this is very important because it plays a big role in how our world is and what our world is like today.
That is a great truth, Abby, but a difficult one to prove. So you got to work your way to that, right? Because this is 1850. If you're going to say that, and I don't disagree, but it's pretty tricky, that's a pretty tough one to prove. So maybe you should start a little bit more... humble in the way that you're explaining the importance. So here's the trick is, how would you do that? It's not easy, is it? So how about this? Let's see if we could help explain to grown-ups what matters about 1850. And let's try this one out. This matters because today we don't have slavery. And the question is, how come? This matters because how come we have such a wonderful modern life that where we don't have slavery? Because the North and the South disagreed, and here they are dividing up the country, and they're not getting rid of it, and it's not working. So, what are they going to do? Sadly, tragically, to shape the world that we live in? Abby?
They're going to fight a war.
They're going to fight a war. And grown-ups, even grown-ups today that don't know history, they know about the Civil War. So you could say, this is 1850, and you see, we're learning about a part of history that helps us to understand how America got to a terrible war where it almost completely self-destructed. The United States exists today because it had a civil war. It existed, let me put that more precisely. The United States exists today without slavery because it had a civil war. But it barely exists because that war almost destroyed the country. Talk about something that's important. Slavery almost destroyed the United States. And that makes complete sense when you think about it. Why would slavery destroy the United States? When Egypt had slavery for 3,000 years, no problem there. China had slavery, India had slavery, everybody had slavery. Didn't destroy those countries. Why would slavery destroy the United States? Isn't that interesting? There's a really good reason why. Nemo?
Because they wanted life, liberty, and the pursuit
exactly.
of...
Exactly! The United States was a country that declared to the world that the real purpose of government is to protect rights. A country like that could not survive with slavery in it. It's either or. You can't have slavery and freedom in a country. And this map is the map of a country that has yet to solve that contradiction, right? It's a map of a country that's growing and still has not solved the problem of slavery, which is very sad because it was one of the only places in the world, the other one was Britain, where people were trying to get rid of slavery. So that's wonderful, but it's sad because it was very hard to get rid of it. Everybody had slavery. Slavery was so normal, nobody questioned it. Now it had to be stopped by somebody. Do you think it was going to be easy to change the world? Is that easy? Of course not. Because you got to go against everybody to change it. People that are just living and just doing things the regular old way, they don't want the world changed. The people who were serious about this new and wonderful idea that human beings should never enslave each other, they had to fight to get that to happen. And they had to fight so hard that it almost destroyed the United States. But they succeeded, and it's just a wonderful thing that happened. And we're working our way there. And today we're going to get to a really important chapter on the way to the Civil War. Does anybody know when the Civil War is coming? You see this map says 1850 over here, right? Does anybody know when that Civil War is coming? That will help you to kind of get a little bit excited about where we are here. When is that Civil War coming? Does anybody know? All right, well, I'm glad I can tell you. The Civil War is coming, 1861. How many years do we have to go here, Patrick?
11
to go. That's not a lot. That's not a lot. The Civil War is coming. So this set of arrangements where there's slavery in part of the country and slavery and no slavery in other parts is going to fall apart. And it's going to fall apart starting in 1850. So this is where it really starts to get unworkable. It really starts to be obvious that it's not going to work anymore. And the compromise is not going to work. And so we have something in 1850, right? As part of California joining, in fact, there was a compromise. Does anybody remember having a compromise when another state joined? How about this? This was a compromise. Who can tell me what compromise was named after the state? What was it, guys? Walker?
The Missouri Compromise.
The Missouri Compromise. Thank you. Right. So there was a compromise already in 1820. In fact, there was another compromise back here. Right? Remember, Thomas Jefferson said no slavery anywhere here. But in order to create the country, they had made a compromise allowing it in here. Right at the beginning. So there was a compromise back then. There was a compromise here. And now there was a compromise here. The difference was, and this is the good part and the bad part at the same time. The difference was, look, this is blue. What do we need a compromise for? Abby?
So the people who don't like slavery won't get mad.
No, this is blue. You got it backwards, Abby.
So the North won't get mad?
No, you still got it reversed. Rosetta?
So the southern states won't get mad.
So the southern states won't get mad. This is a free state. They don't like it. What do we need a compromise for? Well, to keep these guys happy. Oh, that's a bad compromise, that one. Right? I mean, this one back here, this compromise here was, okay, we're going to... Oh, I'm sorry, wrong one. Compromise of 1820, right? We're going to let a slave state in, but we're going to put a new free state, and we're going to create a huge territory without slavery. That was to keep the free people happy, right? That's what I would call a decent compromise. It was still allowing more slavery, but it was a way to limit slavery. This is different now. Whoops, I'm giving things away here. This one here says, we're going to have a state without slavery, but we're going to keep those slavery folks happy by making a compromise. Not good. And the compromise had to do with this. See the difference? This is just the beginning of the compromise. Okay, so notice what happened here. What did they do? What did they do? What was the beginning of the compromise of 1850? What did they do? Abby.
Well, there are several things I see. I see that now the territory around California is divided into three different parts, and that Oklahoma now has its panhandle.
Yeah, true. So that was a small part, but pay attention to the major parts.
There's another line in the light blue territory, too.
Okay, the major parts have to do with the division. Yeah, it's all about the division of territories, creating new territories. And here is the most important part, and you're going to notice this is going to be very bright and obviously different. Aha! Well, now you're really going to have to be a teacher. What are you going to tell your students? You're going to tell your students, well, look what happened now. In 1850, in order to have California join the Union, there was a new compromise. And the new compromise involves a new color on the map. And then, this is a great way to be a teacher. You could ask them, what do you think the new color means? Why would there be a new color? Let me remind you. Blue means slavery not allowed. Gray means not decided. Red means slavery allowed. I did that in the wrong order. Blue means no slavery. Red means slavery. Gray means not determined. Ooh, what, are there other choices? What could it be? Walker?
Maybe both?
Yes, and a yes and no answer? That's an interesting one, but you're going to have to elaborate, because that is the answer, but we got to be very precise. Abby?
Well, I was thinking that I'm probably wrong, because Walker's answer was right, but I guess I thought that it meant a different country.
Oh, okay. No, it's a color, so it's part of the United States. And anything on our map that's white is not yet a part of the United States, but the colors are. Okay. And so Walker's answer is right, but it is a confusing one, isn't it? Walker said yes and no. How can that be? Wait a minute. How can the answer be yes and no? Now, that's going to be tricky. And Rossetti, you want to take a crack at that?
It probably means that you could choose if you wanted to be anti-slavery or you want to have slaves.
All right, we're getting there. Is that what you meant by it, Walker?
I thought it meant that both were allowed. Like, you could have no slaves or you could have slaves.
Okay, but that's what Rosetta said, isn't it? That's what she said. She said you could personally choose whether or not to have slaves. Okay, so, yeah, you're both on the right track here. Patrick, you want to add something?
It's a little bit like a constitution, I think.
What do you mean?
From what Wyatt said.
No, you meant Walker.
Yeah.
But I don't understand. Did you mean contradiction?
I'm not sure if that's the word, but it could be.
Yeah, so in other words, you're saying the same thing, you're saying one thing and the opposite at the same time?
Yeah.
Okay, that word for that is contradiction. Yeah, but what Walker's trying to say, which is interesting, is that it wasn't, well, is it a contradiction? Sometimes there's such a thing as a yes and no answer, right? And so we were just talking about that the other day. So that is a challenging kind. All right, so let me explain here. The answer is... Mr. Powell said, today's lecture is entitled... What's that strange looking expression? Popular sovereignty.
Hmm?
Exactly. Huh? Popular sovereignty? What's that? Well, popular sovereignty is green, didn't you know? The color of popular sovereignty is green. Okay, so what does that mean? Okay, so the answer was pretty close to what Walker said. You could have it. You could choose to have it or not have it. All right, that's an individual choice. But when it comes to making a state, can you have a state that says you can have slavery or not have it? Can that be the laws of a state? Think about that one. If those are the laws, is it really an either or? Is it a both situation? If the state's laws say, oh, you can have slavery or not have it. Patrick?
Sort of, maybe.
Well, I need more than that. Yes, it is a tricky question. It is a tricky question. If the laws say you can have it or not, what do the laws say? What do they really say? Jeremy?
You can have slavery day if you want.
There you go. You can have it. If the law says, if the state says you can have it or not, then what it says is you can have it, right? So that green here was one or the other. But what happens was, when you're going to make a state, who decides? How do you decide? Let's say you've got a community of people, and there's 10,000 of them. I can't remember how many people you had to have a state, but let's pretend it was 10,000 people. And some of them have slavery and some of them don't. And then they apply to join the union. How are they going to decide whether or not they will continue to have slavery or not? How will these neighbors who disagree decide? Some of them have it and some of them don't. How do you do that when you have a group of people and they want to work together and they have to decide? What's that called? Ooh, everybody forgot their anchor facts. Walker?
A vote?
Yes, you vote on it, and voting to decide things is called what? Anna, please.
Democracy.
Democracy. Okay. So, the Compromise of 1850 said, in the green territory, the people, that's the word popular, right? What's popular is what people like. Sovereignty means the laws. So, popular sovereignty just means the people will make the laws. Well, that's just another word for, Anna?
Democracy.
Democracy, thank you. Okay. So, in the Green Territory, there was going to be democracy. They called it, they had a big, complicated phrase for it. They said, we're going to have popular sovereignty. Which just means the people will decide. How? Oh, they will vote. Oh, and when they vote, how do we decide? The majority decides. Okay, so that's called democracy. All right, so let's just call it what it is. In the Green Territory, we'll have democracy. And here's an interesting thing, too. I think this is such an important part of American history. And this is what you can teach your students. Do you see what this is? Do you see what the green means? if the majority wants slavery, they can have it. Abby, what would you teach your students?
I would teach them that probably these states are going to be slavery states.
Probablys are not what we do in history, right? We want to do the facts, but we can make predictions sometimes, but when we know the facts, we're going to go with the facts. But no, that's not enough. We gotta slow down and look very closely at popular sovereignty. What was the government saying? The government was saying, you can vote to decide whether or not you will have slavery. What's the big deal? Popular sovereignty. Why is that such an interesting fact? And actually a really scary fact, Abby?
Well, because either there could be a lot of people who don't want slavery and the majority rules in a democracy, so they could not have slavery, or there could be a lot of people who like slavery and vice versa.
Okay. You're on the right track. The most important thing that you said was, in a democracy, the majority rules. So there's a lot of people that might not want slavery, but if the majority wants slavery, what do you get? Rosetta?
You get slavery.
You get slavery. Okay. So, the Compromise of 1850 was slavery by democracy. You get to vote. The majority rules. If the majority wants slavery, we're going to have slavery. So, and this is something that is a very interesting case. History does not have many examples of democracy, actually. It's very rare, and today we have strange mixes all over the place, so it's hard to make them really clear in our minds. Athens in ancient times was a democracy, and what happened there is very interesting and instructive. And there was a democracy, we will see, in European history. There was a democracy in Germany in the 1930s. We'll see where that leads. And in American history, there is a democracy right here in these green areas. And that is called popular sovereignty. And what it means is you can vote to decide whether or not some people will be ruled by others. You will vote to decide whether or not you want slavery. There's some noise in the background, but we're almost done here. So what I wanted to ask you was, if you don't want slavery in a democracy, what do you have to do? If you don't want it, what do you have to do? Abby?
Like, try to convince a majority of people to vote for no slavery.
Yeah, you've got to get the bigger group, otherwise you lose. Democracy is all about being a part of the bigger group. You've got to get yourself a majority, otherwise it won't be the way the way you want them to be. So what we're going to see about this part of American history is Americans became really focused on democracy. And by that, I mean, they said, we have to have a majority. The people of the blue state said, we got to have a majority. The people of the red state said, we got to have a majority. So what do you think started to happen in these areas that became green? What was it like in those places? We gotta have a majority. The blue ones want it, the red ones want it. Abby, what is it?
Well, people
people start panicking and trying to get together a majority as fast as possible.
Yeah, a panic for a majority. Exactly. So what we're going to see when we come back is the first great panic for a majority in American history. Okay. It's not going to be pretty, and pretty soon it'll be civil war. All right. It's not the happiest part of history, but it is got some very interesting lessons in it. And one of the lessons is popular sovereignty is a terrible idea. You can have slavery if you just vote for it. Interesting. Okay, folks, talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye-bye.